can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance 387. I'm Nicole Shiro, along with co-host Nick Mayo and a co-host Bob Tolero's in the room. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM at koop.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
It's Wednesday, November 16th, 2016. Today on the show we have St. Edward's University with their world premiere production of Mouthful. And we also have Sam Bass Community Theater's A Tuna Christmas. But of course, we will have lively discussions including the news and views from around the world. Theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Timbuktu, and everywhere else. Stay with us.
When I'm so crazy over you.
Dance break, Nick Mayo.
Dancing out.
Give it to me.
Ball change.
Come on. Wing, 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 wing.
Kick, 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 kick.
I'm fiddling.
Woo! And face, jazz hands.
Face.
Fussy, fussy, fussy.
Fussy, fussy, fussy. Now, how you know I played that for you.
Well, it's been in your head for...
I've had an obsession with Tommy Tune and My One and Only all week, and my mother and I have been reliving all the versions. I had to remind her this morning, Mom, we did see it with Twiggy, too. You told us we didn't, and I found the playbill. So I saw it with him with Stephanie Zimbalist, and then I saw him with Sandy Duncan, and of course Twiggy, but I was fascinated by it in my youth because there was water on the stage.
Water on the stage.
And
Bob
they
Tolaro
danced
loves
in
water
it.
On the stage.
I do. Tell everyone what show that is that you're talking about.
My One and Only.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My what? Tommy Tune. How about 1981, I believe. Isn't that crazy? I love it. Anyway, it has a lot of really good tunes in it. Obviously, like wonderful little tunes that everyone knows, but... Yeah, so I was like, I gotta play it because Tommy's in my head. I just love that Tommy tune, that
How
Texan
are you today,
of a man.
Nicole?
So I'm good, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful, beautiful fall day.
It is a beautiful, beautiful fall day. I put a vest on, even though I don't really think I need it.
Yeah, way overdressed.
Way overdressed.
Way overdressed.
But you know what? I was feeling it. So
feel it, sister.
Otherwise, it's never gonna get worn. I got a lot of winter gear to get out during this holiday.
During our 3 days of winter.
Yes, so I'm working it. There you go. So I have to say thank you to Kim for another great show. I was loving that, loving the band, loving the music. That was really good stuff. Thank you, Mr. Kim. And I'm going to introduce all these guests. We have a very full house today. Woohoo! All right. Hello, Mr. Jarrett King.
Hello.
Hello. Lexi Banner. Alexandra Shaw.
Hello.
Hello. 1R Michael Klingsales.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Jacob Vigil.
Hi there.
And Miss Robin Connor.
Hello.
And, of course, Coco, co-host, hiding in the corner. Bob Tolero, you're going to have to say hello today.
Hello out there in Radio Land.
I miss you, Bob Tolero. I miss you. I miss you. And, of course, Nick Mayo.
Hey there.
I guess today it's only...
Nick Squared!
We still did that for Lisa because she would be editing the show and be like, I didn't hear it. You heard it, Lisa Sheps. You heard it. So we had some openings, and we're going to talk about this, and I'm kind of bummed Lisa's not here to talk about it because she doesn't... Apparently, I'm the only one in this room with a fascination for the Grobes. Does anyone like the Grobes? Josh Groban?
Don't share that fascination with you.
I admit it freely. I can't hide behind that.
I didn't know they called them the Grobes.
I call them the Grobes. Oh. I mean, it'd just be me, but it's the Grobes. Like, I want to hate them, but I love them.
It's kind of like James Franco. Like, I want to hate him, but I love him.
No, like, we just hate him.
Yeah, but there's something about him that I'm like, really, dude? It's like,
and this is
I think
his
it's
Broadway,
the idea.
This
so
is
it's,
his Broadway debut.
Yes, it is. In the show, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. They loved it.
I know.
Loved it. Like, everybody loved it. It wasn't a little, like, all over the map. I was kind of like, now, did you really think that Josh Groban was going to have an epic fail on Broadway when you look at his, like, do you know his history and background?
Well, I know that he went to a certain high school that I went to.
Oh.
Yes.
But other than that, uh-uh.
Were you there when he got chosen by the Babs and the whole thing started?
No, I'm far younger than him.
Touché.
I wish there was the camera could see, like, what was going on, but... I don't know.
It's because he learned how to play the accordion for this show that everyone is very thrilled. He actually played it. He took it on the plane with him and would play
okay.
it.
Okay, I would normally be annoyed by anyone, but if I was sitting next to the Grobes, I'd be like, play the accordion. Let me buy you a cocktail.
I mean, heard he had a middle seat, too.
Betty can play the
Can you
guitar.
Imagine, like, you raise me up on, like, the accordion? Uh-huh. Oh, see? The Groves is fun to talk about. So they call him the glossy pop star. I should say Charles Isherwood calls him the glossy pop star, which I don't know if I really call him pop.
I don't know if I'd call him glossy.
He is a hot sort of mess, like.
Yeah. And in this show, he's all bearded.
He's a happy, unshaven man, and there aren't a lot of those around, which is so funny.
Yeah.
So, and he really, really, really is. You are definitely a happy, unshaven man.
This
I love
true.
It.
This
but there, it's an exciting thing. Tevye is a happy, unshaven man. He's sad at times, but he's an intricate, unshaven man. But there's not always that moment. I don't know, that's a whole nother episode.
Well, this show has been in development for so many years. Like, 4 years ago at Ars Nova, I got to see it in a tiny, tiny little space, and they put a bottle of vodka, and I was so excited because it was Tito's vodka that they put on the table, and they put a pierogi on the table. So it started off in this really small way. Then they've since worked on the piece, done other, you know, incarnations, and so all these years later, to open and get such great reviews and to have someone as talented as Josh Groban, it's exciting. I also, Dave Malloy, the composer, I want to say something about that guy. He is such an artist. He's always workshopping new pieces. He's a really, really, one of those people that you would collaborate with and do a show with next week. And you'd be like, wait a minute, you're Dave Malloy. He's everywhere, always working on new pieces. So I'm happy for him that his music is out there.
Well, it was interesting. He was talking kind of about that. I knew it was good when I saw that he was quoting lyrics in the opening in his review, and I was like, "Oh,
super
he
smart
was
lyrics."
Hooked. Like that's very, very random. But I can't find what he wrote about your composer. He wrote something in here, and I didn't mark it like a dork. But what he wrote about Groban, he said obviously his tenor was not a surprise. But he doesn't just make pretty sounds. He invests his singing with the pain and frustration that define Pierre. Hmm. With a bushy beard and a plumped up costume, Pierre is described as stout, Mr. Groban is almost unrecognizable, and his acting is superb as he all but trembles with the existential despair that courses through Pierre's veins virtually nonstop.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that,
like,
that he's doing some transformation in this and actually just showing some acting chops. Dave Malloy actually played Pierre when they did it originally. So you had the composer playing the role, which was an exciting element.
He saw it twice in the first 2 days.
Huh.
He went and sat on a banquette on stage, and then he went and sat in the orchestra. See, and then he gives people, if you want to be close to the Grobes, what you got to do. So if you want to be closest to the action, the stage is the place to be. And for fans of Mr. Groban, perhaps the orchestra is a better choice. Then again, I had a friend who saw it from the mezzanine, and he felt he had an ideal view, too. So that intimacy that you were talking about, he actually, I was kind of really like, wow, Charles, this was a different kind of review that he wrote to me, and I was like, oh, they really like this.
That's
and
awesome. It makes me want to see it, revisit it, and see how they make that intimacy in this new space.
I know.
Exciting.
I was excited. So the live action Beauty and the Beast trailer came out. Did anyone watch it?
Like about seven times.
Okay. Can I just tell you something? So did I. I was like, who cares? And then I watched it and I went, no one told me Kevin Kline was Papa locked in a dungeon. Yes.
What?
Okay.
I didn't know that either. Yes.
So then I had to rewatch it again because I was so fascinated by Kevin Kline trapped in the trapped in the dungeon. Then I got fascinated by the way they made Lumiere and yes, all the characters. Yes. I watched it multiple times and damn them, I want to see it. I
love that we all get to be unapologetically excited about something like a live-action Beauty and the Beast. I just love that we get to be in the same room and be. I'm equally as excited.
I watched it on my phone and then my laptop and then I plugged it into my TV.
Oh, be bold. Be bold.
Like really big. I'm sad.
But don't watch the side-by-side because your brain will hurt because you don't know where to go.
It's like, it's visually stunning, acting-wise, and they haven't even released like any of the singing or the songs, and I'm like, oh, wow, and Audra McDonald, no, she's in the other one that they're doing, I think, no, because there's another live, sorry, stop the lives. But anyway, I was going to talk about it, and then this morning they announced that trailer broke record views at more than 125 million.
Wow.
When they released it, and I was like, oh, well, that I'm going to add that to my conversation. That's...
And little old Emma Watson.
Little old Emma Watson, so
who we
cute.
Can't say is little.
You know, I didn't give Ewan McGregor or Ian McClellan. There's some other really awesome people in the cast, but Kevin Kline trapped in them.
I just want to know who plays Maurice the Baguettes, because that's one of my favorite parts in Beauty and the Beast. I mean, I would pay money to be Maurice with the Baguette.
They don't have Maurice the Baguette cast in here.
Oh, that's a shame.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Well, you know what? We'll give Maurice his due notice next week. I promise you that. I almost put our little Law and Order ding ding in here because I was laughing, but I didn't. But we have a little ding ding law stuff going on. So Shuffle Along producers are suing Lloyd's of London. Did you see that?
I did. Their insurance provider.
Yes, they are refusing to cover the losses from the Broadway musical's premature closing. So I guess it's financially beneficial to have a lawsuit again? I don't understand any of this.
So they're suing their insurance provider for not giving them their claim because Audra McDonald became pregnant.
Yeah, they're saying it was caused by the pregnancy of Audra McDonald. So really, you're going to throw her under the bus?
Well, they're saying
that's
that
kind of awful.
It's horrible and it's embarrassing.
Did anyone see that she was like almost 8 months pregnant singing and tap dancing and kicking her leg behind her head? Because I didn't really see that the pregnancy was a problem.
Yeah, I think this lawsuit is disgraceful.
I kind of was, yeah, man.
And
I don't
also,
know.
They also get into, I mean, it's just a painful thing. I mean, I hesitate to even give it much, much more time. Because
well,
I just Lloyd's think
told them that, quote, McDonald's absence is not a satisfactory reason to close the show.
And the producer, yeah, I know. I don't want to give that much more time.
Neither do I. I was just kind of, I was a little blown away. And I'm not going to, the next thing I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to talk about quickly because it's kind of not even fair that I'm talking about it without Lisa here because Lisa's obsessed with this show, but I had to talk about it. Gilmore Girls. Lisa loves the Gilmore Girls. I like the Gilmore Girls, but Lisa loves the Gilmore Girls. They're doing a musical episode, and they've brought in all these Broadway heavy hitters to actually, I mean, we're talking like Tony winners and all sorts of stuff. Want to see who's on set? Yeah, that would be like Sutton Foster, Christian Borle. Yeah, they're not messing around. I was like, oh, hello. Jeanine Tesori is writing original tunes.
See, that's the thing I'm most excited about.
Never mind. That was about something else. I don't know what the whole thing is. Jeanine has been doing these like little videos and kind of teasing what she's writing about or what's going on. But whatever they're doing really good publicity to keep you wanting to know more and then putting it out there. But it's called, the episode's going to be called The History of Stars Hollow, a Musical, which is going to be excerpted in the summer episode, because there's only 4 episodes for like each season. They take it from like Carole King, one of her songs, and a nod to Carole King, given that Where You Lead is the show's theme song. So they it's a 90-minute episodes that begin winter, then spring, then summer, then fall. So there'll only be like four different episodes that they're doing. So the musical will be in there. I think that's kind of exciting. I know Lisa's gonna be excited. We'll talk about that more because I can't take it out. Last week after the election, you were talking about Create an Artist. A big thing that started happening and trending is the hashtag artivism. Mm-hmm. And there was this incredible, incredible article that was about Lee Silverman, who's a Tony-nominated director. She spoke at the 24-hour plays, and she told everyone, oh, God, this one quote was so good. She said to me, to all young theater artists here, use your voice. Please use your voice. Refuse to be silenced. Make the work. Turn your rage into action. Find your inspiration. Find your resistance and resilience. Hold it close. Get loud.
Amen.
And that's just only part of it. And I was like, I have to read that part. This, what she said and everything that went on and talking about, she's currently directing Sutton Foster in Sweet Charity in the revival, which she said she has changed a bit to empower women, because Lisa and I laugh, it's the greatest musical ever, but doesn't really teach a good music.
does not teach a good lesson
to little ladies.
No. There's got to be something better than this.
Yeah.
Dork, just a dorky thing that I just said.
Yeah.
Just dork.
I'm going to get up, I'm going to get out. I'm going to get up, do it!
Sorry, this radio show should be danced.
That's right.
Oh my God, it's so funny. So I thought this was really cool. There's another, you could see artists everywhere. There's a group of Broadway performers that got up and went to Central Park. We can post a video at like 7:30 in the morning and sat around Imagine and sang. They were playing dobro and violin and guitar, and some of them were dancing. And I love New York. The walkers just are cruising by, the Central Park walkers, not even like phased that this is all going on in the park. I was like, I miss that.
Well, our community comes together in such a beautiful way. And I was just telling Bob before we came on air, there has been nothing more comforting than working with the artist that I'm working with, Wolverine Walk Into a Bar, at the State, to be in a theater, in a space right now with artists is so cathartic. And so I think I love that our community is coming together, and I love what Lee said. And
this whole speech and everything she said was really good. The other part that was really passionate had some cursing in it I couldn't say, and I didn't really want to change it because I think what she wrote was so important. So we'll have to post this article. It's pretty cool. Okay, exciting. You know I'm obsessed with The Candor and The Ebb.
We share that.
Okay, I'm so sorry The Ebb is gone, and we're out of musicals at this point because they've done the last three, but The Candor is still going. And his new musical, Kid Victory, set an off-Broadway date. Is that like
That's
super,
really exciting.
Super exciting?
That's really exciting.
So he's been budding up with Gregory Pierce, which makes me really excited because this guy now will be leading. I'm like, he's leaving a legacy because I didn't know where they were leaving or what was happening. And I'm so happy about this. It's going to be at the Victory. Is it? No. The Vineyard Theater. I don't know. It's the story follows 17-year-old Luke, who returns to his small Kansas town featuring a one-year absence. I am so excited about this.
That's really exciting. And I'm so happy that he's creating.
February 1st. It will open February 22nd.
We should go.
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Let's see. Scenic design is Clint Ramos. Costumes, Jacob Clymer. Lighting, David Weiner. Sound, Peter Halenski. Oh, Scottsboro Boys guy, music guy. David Loud's back in it.
Oh, nice.
Michael Strobin from Falsettos and Sunday in the Park with George. And Jesse Kiesel from Visit as music director. I don't know. It's a new comedy about, they're doing a whole bunch. No.
What's your favorite Candor and Ebb, Nicole?
I'm torn. Mm-hmm. But I think it's The Rink.
Mine is The Rink. Bob Tilaro?
I concur.
Yeah. I want to go around the rink, the rink. There's nothing to do, the rink, the rink. If you want to go around with me, we're going to go around the rink. Do you know when I did that musical, I was so mad because I found out that the guys were the only ones that get to actually roller skate, and it's that number, and I didn't get to be in it, and that was devastating.
I just love the fact that you were in it. I was in it in my living room starting at like 6. From like age 6 to 10,
I started. The director I did 9 the musical with, mm-hmm. he did the rink. He was like, you've got to do this show. And I was a little too young to play Angel, but I still connected. I did the show.
See,
yeah.
What's funny is in my production, I played both parts.
Angel and Anna.
In my living room.
You could have filled in for Liza. She was out a lot in 84.
And Mary Testa was on for her.
Stalker took over. Love the rink. I think it's the rink.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rink. Okay, we're going to just, literally, there's not a lot to say, so I'm just going to say what's happening, and I think we're just probably going to stop there. Terms of Endearment, the play, starring Molly Ringwald.
No words.
It's not the movie, it's not the book, it's a bit of both.
I just watched that movie recently with our dear friends who had never seen it. It gets me and I have no words.
I can't get through it anymore. It's hard.
It's mm-hmm.
She looks really good. I don't know. I watched an interview.
No words.
I watched.
She bites her lip.
No. I didn't even know about it from reading about it. I knew about it because she's on a major media blitz. And, you know, I'm obsessed with my Hoda. And Hoda was interviewing her. So I learned about it. But I literally texted you and I didn't know what to say.
No words.
Yeah. I don't know. So Royal Shakespeare Company is doing this crazy thing. They're bringing Intel technology and working with Intel on a production of The Tempest. Yes. So Ariel is an avatar. And it's this totally new, I know, I got a little like, I was like, I don't have time for more news, but this was like so cool. So what's really cool about it is they're going to actually broadcast it in cinemas.
And here in Austin.
So January 11th, it'll start being, which I find this funny. They're going to broadcast it before it actually, it's running through January 21st. So they, RSC partnered with Intel and Imaginarium Studios, and they're utilizing digital technology to create the avatar for the supernatural figure of Ariel. So the actor has been wearing this motion capture suit live on the stage, and they've been in the theater and creating everything through the space, which is very different than how you will normally use this type of technology for a movie and stuff. So it just sounds fascinating. They have some really cool interviews with getting these people in Intel thinking outside of the box in a theatrical way and getting theatrical people to think in a totally different technological way. I thought it was pretty interesting, and I'm just like, oh.
Anything that gets people thinking and seeing Shakespeare makes me happy.
Well, this is what made me laugh. I was like, Julie Taymor is pissed. She didn't think of that one.
Well,
maybe she did, and it just hasn't happened, and it was in her living room. You know? You never know. So Lisa talked about Thanksgiving Day Parade, and that we had some folks, we had Paramore, they actually, and Holiday Inn, and meow, cats. They added Hairspray Live, they added Waitress. But if you noticed in the last few years, CBS has decided to get smart since they can't get the performances out on the street, and they go live into the theater and play their own Broadway performances. And they announced they're going to be doing The Color Purple, School of Rock, and On Your Feet.
See, I like that. Even though The Color Purple's closing, let's get people in there to see that.
And it must close January 8th. I'm so, like, it's the one ad that flashes every time I'm online. I'm like, yes, I get it. You need to close. And it flashes over Cynthia's head. I'm like, stop that. Quickly, because I'm obsessed with my sideshow, Emily Skinner. This was kind of crazy. Houston is doing a version of Into the Woods right now. Or they will be opening it in like a week.
At Tuts?
Yes. No. Yeah. At Tuts. December 6th through 18th. Emily Skinner will be starring in Into the Woods as the witch. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Very random at Christmas time, but okay, kind of cool. Here's what's crazy to me. They got the entire team of Broadway designers, to come back in from the costumes to the set. So they're using original 1987 costumes.
Well, I hope they washed them.
She said she had, actually, and you can't see it in here because it cut it off, but there's a beautiful video that they interview with her showing her how she had to revamp some of the pieces or rework because some of the things were usable or not. And it's actually, and I was like, that's kind of actually a little fascinating now, even more than it was before. I always feel like Into the Woods, it's time to go.
I think we need to go to a road trip. We'll go to Houston.
Well, you know, it's running during football, so we could... I see some tickets. Let's just go to the Palm Theater and J.J. Watt. No, J.J.'s not there. Brian Cushing.
There you go.
Woo!
I also love that Emily Skinner's managing to make a good career for herself in the regions. I mean,
she just got through Oklahoma, and she just Drassy chaperone with Martin Burke.
Yeah, she's in the regions.
She's done the Ghost Brothers of Darkling County with the Dale Watson.
She must have a really good subletter.
She must. Yeah. I don't know. Quickly, Ruth Bader Ginsburg made her opera debut. did you guys know this?
Yes.
She got a standing ovation.
Yes, of course she did. The daughter of the regiment. Did you see how little and adorable she was in her little chair on set?
Yes.
I just wanted to, like, crush her.
I know.
Eat her. She is a noted theater lover. She was very excited. Go, Ruth. Go, Ruth. So that's it. I'm going to quickly go out. Speaking of Candor and Ebb and some other good stuff, this year, Chicago turned 20 years on stage, had a 20-year anniversary 2 days ago. 20 years for a revival. You know why? Because it's Candor and Ebb, people. Lion King, now open for 19 years.
Oy,
this week, too. Isn't that nuts?
And still getting major dollars.
Yeah.
Still can't see it for less than
$100. You know why, Bob? Yeah. It's the circle of life.
See what she did there?
So I didn't choose Circle of Life. So I'm sorry. I chose Candor and Ebb. But, you know, let's go out listening to a little bit of that.
Whatever happened to fair dealing and
we are back. Hello. Did you like that specific song I chose
from
Chicago?
I really did.
I kind of felt it was, you know, life. L'chaim. let's talk to some guests here. We're going to talk to St. Edward's University now. You guys are doing something really cool. This is a world premiere, correct?
This is an American premiere.
American premiere. Yes. I knew there was a premiere of some sort. Let me reintroduce all you lovely folks so folks know what's here. Welcome again, Jarrett King.
Well, hello.
And Miss Lexi Banner.
Hi there.
Hello. And Alexandra Shaw.
Hello.
Hello. So, Alexandra, you're directing this, correct?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
So this is a play called Mouthful, which is a collection of 6 short plays and 1 musiclette is what we're going to call it.
Okay, I like musiclette.
Yes. It's actually an amuse-bouche of sorts because each of these plays is centered around food and globalization and our ethics around how we want to live and how we need to survive. It was commissioned by the Meta Theatre in London, and it happened at Trafalgar Studios, and now this is the American premiere, and it's a cast of 10 amazing St. Edward students and 2 great equity actors, one in this room, Jarrett.
That's me.
And
I love that you were singing,
I mean, 1 musiclette, we need to get it in when we can, you know? It's been a real just pleasure and gift to work with the St. Ed's staff and students. It is an incredible department. Incredible theater is getting made there every single day. It was an honor to be included.
That's it. That is cool. I'm going to stop for 1 second because we just want to hear something. Robin, you gave me a number earlier and you gave me the number 7. So we are going to see what it is you chose for us.
Hi, we're the cast of Jersey Boys. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Oh, well, I guess that was apropos. They're winding up and heading down, and one Mark Ballas is in there doing his thing.
Yeah.
He's dancing with the Jersey Boys. No one found that funny but me. Okay, it was a mouthful.
Yes.
Speaking of mouthful, I hear you're working on a great show called Metaphor.
Oh yeah, so it's been written. It was written by 7 different playwrights from all over the world. We have playwrights from Nigeria, the UK, the US, Colombia, and it's also been an amazing process because we have students from all over the from a very diverse group of students working on the show as well, and I think it's really apropos right now. Because it's a play that is really tackling the concepts of climate change and how we're going to continue to live as a global community.
So I was reading. I was reading. It was about climate change and food and sustainability as these kind of like the common that are just interwoven and threaded into these different pieces.
Yes, and it's also, I mean, extremely intimate tales of families and. And because it's in the Mary Moody Northern Theater, which is an arena space, as an audience member, you are really engaged with it and each other. So it's an immensely political piece, but it's also an incredibly passionate and a play about humanity today.
And you've got some really impressive playwrights in here. You have Neil Labute.
Yes, Bola Agbaje, Pedro Miguel Rosso, Lydia Adetunji, Claire Bailey, Poppy Burton Morgan. She is the artistic director of the Meta Theater, and she wrote the lyrics for Try Me. And Austin's own Peter Stopchinski composed this brand new music for it, for our big musiclette.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's exciting.
Can you talk a little bit about what our audience members would be expecting? There's quite a diverse, within these 7 pieces.
Yes.
What would they be expecting when they go? To be informed and entertained?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what an audience member would be.
So it is 6 short plays, but we have chosen to make it as one consummate piece of theater, sort of to reflect how we are a globalized society and we don't live in a vacuum or no man's an island. So you're going to see individual stories that are then transitioning into each other. And these stories bring up questions like, what if you spent all your savings to buy farmland to grow and sell vegetables, and then you discover something very unsavory about that land? What if it is...
Ethics. What are your
ethics? I don't want to give away too much, but should I say a little more? I don't know. What if that farmland is actually a mass grave? Mm-hmm. And then what do you do with that? Do you survive? Do you still plant your food, grow it, and sell it so that you can live on, or do you bring it to the government and see if you can make change? This is by the Colombian playwright, which is also, I mean, happening right now today. These kinds of things.
Well, yeah. I know that you guys have a scene prepared for us today. Can you talk a little bit, Jarrett, about the scene that you guys will be doing?
Yeah. This is a great transition into the scene because the scene comes from the play that Alex was just mentioning. Yes, I'm far away from this mic. the scene that Alex was just mentioning that deals with buying a piece of farmland and sort of what happens if you discover something about that farmland. So Luxy and I are going to be doing this scene.
So we have Luxy Banner and Jarrett King performing a scene from Mouthful at Mary Moody Northern Theater.
Are you sure?
I've been wanting to do this for so long, Dad. I hate all the noise of the city, the injustice, the pollution, all the chemicals. Do you have any idea how many chemicals there are in that Coke you drink?
Ruth?
Methimidazole, phosphoric acid, sodium benzoate, genetically modified fructose? I can't do that stuff anymore, Dad. It matters what we put into our bodies.
Don't start.
I'm not starting. No, actually, I am. I'm starting with me. With myself, my own body, my own cells. I'm not going to eat anything that I haven't grown myself, with my own hands. No Monsanto seeds, no artificial fertilizers, no pesticides. Totally clean, totally natural, pure, at last. The first step towards changing the world is changing myself.
That's what you said when you went to Tibet.
I needed to meditate.
Then it was taking in stray dogs.
I wanted to contribute something.
The whole ayahuasca thing.
I needed to cleanse my system.
The turtle refuge.
They were under threat of extinction.
The veggie burger stall.
You quite liked those.
And now it's this.
I'm rock solid on this one, Dad. All of that other stuff was what I needed to do to get to this. It's an epiphany for me. It's a revelation. It's my nirvana. We are what we eat. If our bodies aren't in harmony with itself, how am I supposed to move forward?
You are such a child sometimes.
I'm not.
Don't shout.
I am not a child.
Then you should understand it's 30 million pesos.
It's a bargain. It's not even like a third of what it's actually worth.
And it's your life savings.
Exactly. My savings. Mine.
How many years would you have to be walking people's dogs to save up money like that again?
I won't need it, Dad.
For heaven's sake, what planet do you live on?
Do you think that's what's going to save us in the end? Money.
Ruth.
Are we going to be breathing money when we've run out of food?
Why do you always have to bring everything back to...
Are we going to be drinking money when we've run out of clean water?
You are so like your mother when you start...
Or eating money when we've run out of food!
You don't know the first thing about working the land.
What better way to learn than having some land to work on?
And what if you change your mind? Nobody's gonna want that patch of soil stuck out in the middle of nowhere.
I'll never want to sell it!
You could at least let it out to people as a little weekend place.
I hate that kind of exploitation!
What exploitation?
Nature isn't a utility, Dad.
But you're nice and settled here.
Frustrated. And dead inside is what I am.
What do you think it's going to be like for your mother? Knowing you've gone running off to go and live on your own, cut off from the world.
I'll have neighbors. One of them does like handicrafts and stuff. She makes these amazing pots out of clay.
It's a dump up there.
A dump is a really good place for things to grow.
Wow. That was great.
Yeah. Really wonderful. So that was from Organica
was
by
awesome.
Pedro Miguel Rosso. So talk a little bit about the process of working on these pieces. And we have just a little bit more time.
Sure.
But talk about the journey, the artistic journey. How being a part of one of seven pieces that are all on a larger theme. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
What's the process
yeah.
been like?
I mean, it's been wonderful. And it's been wonderful to work with the kids and to work with, I shouldn't say they're kids, they're students, and to work with Alex. And each play has a very distinct personality, and each, you know, the characters that you play throughout have their own journey and story. And since it's a short play, since it's like six short plays, you kind of go through this arc in a very compressed amount of time. So it's been really interesting. We've had to rely on each other a lot more as a cast to, you know, to get through it.
So you're all... Some of you were in more than one
yes.
scene. Interesting,
yes.
mm-hmm. which is cool with all the different directors and or not different direct, different playwrights, and then directing through that. How is that directing? I mean, because you have to ask something different from your actors. It's like directing multiple plays with multiple different casts.
I mean, it was really an incredible collaboration. We came together and we approached each play in its unique way and followed the integrity of the play, but then we would come together every weekend for rehearsal and work as the whole group, and we would present what we had done all week, and so we were always on the same page the whole time, and it really grew as a devised physical piece because of the integrity of each play and the collaboration of all the actors that are just so inspirational to be in the room with. I think it was as Jared has said in the past, quite an organic experience. Wink, wink.
Har,
so
har.
Good. So good.
And you also happen to have a really wonderful stage manager.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The one.
Robert.
You better, yeah. now stage manager.
Yes, ma'am.
Are they a difficult group to keep in order?
No, ma'am. They're very good.
What has been your challenge stage managing this show?
Well, actually, I'm the production stage manager, and Mallory Moreno is the stage manager, a student. And we're in a program where we actually do it in the New York style, where the production stage manager does not call the show. The stage manager does. The production stage manager, once they're trained, once they know we could let them go without a net, observes the show and takes notes. So we've done that style with this show because we have very talented stage managers and assistant stage managers. So it's great for them. So when they go out into the real world, there's a little more sense of reality.
It's a really cool thing that St. Edward's does.
It's a really wonderful place.
I'm glad we asked you that. So our listeners, because we talk about stage managing and swings and some of the harder things that people get it, but they don't truly understand what everybody's roles or exactly what the duties are. So to clarify, Lisa would be very excited too, Miss Stage Manager Lady, that you explained that and that you worked all that. Well, y'all, we're like out of time. I'm sad about all this, but I hope you guys will stay backstage. We can talk to you guys a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Really, 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 really excited about your piece. I should ask, quickly, how have audiences been responding?
Well, yeah, I guess you've been away.
You guys all made faces, so you're right, all like, yeah.
The response has been really, really great. And for this being, you know, a U.S. premiere in a play that, you know, is not familiar to anyone in the United States, the response has been great. We've gotten some great houses, and we've had very engaged audiences. And I think, yeah, they really relate to the human toll and the human story.
That was a lot of what I've heard. I related to that, and I don't normally always hear that when people leave theater. And I thought that was kind of, I was like, what a cool explanation from someone. Not really explanation isn't the word, but response. Description. What a clue. Oh, response. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of the right word. Hello. Checked out of the library somewhere else. It'll return.
So you guys run this weekend. So you have performances on Friday.
We have, the performances are tonight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's 7:30 today through Saturday, and 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. And I look forward to talking to you more a little bit backstage.
Thank you.
That was Jarrett King, Lexi Banner, and Alexandra Shaw with St. Edward's University. Oh, and the Bob Tolero. With St. Edward's University's production of Mouthful, a U.S. premiere, running through the 20th at Mary Moody Norton Theater at St. Edward's University. For more information, you may visit stedwards.edu/Mary Moody Northern Theater.
Is it worth the waiting for if we live till 84?
Did you like that? Did you like that?
Food, glorious food.
It is food, and it's glorious, and it's yummy. You know, I had a hard time like thinking what I could write about food, and I was like, do I really just go to food? And then I started listening to the little kids singing Food, Glorious Food, and I realized,
it's kind of adorable.
I really kind of got to go there. You know, Oliver's not my favorite musical.
Me either. Oh, I didn't do that in my living room. I didn't start. Actually, I did. I started as Nancy.
It is like nails on a... Did you?
I directed Oliver. I love Oliver.
I know you do. A lot of people do.
Everyone
I feel
wants
awful.
To play Fagin.
No, yeah.
You'd be
I don't.
A really good Fagin.
I am know. Fagin.
Did you just say I am Fagin?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You make me laugh, Bob Tolero. You make me laugh. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of Today in Theater History so that we can get talking and move on over to Tuna, Texas here, folks. Today in Theater History. And I'm going to laugh because I couldn't think of a song. And Amy, I was texting people for music and you gave me one. And then Amy Layton gave me a song. And I was like, yeah. She goes, you're going to hate me for this. I know you don't like this song. And she told me. And I was like, yeah, all right. Maybe I'll play it. And then I pulled up Today in Theater History. And the big picture, I was like, oh, man, you picked a perfect song. So then the song we chose today, Amy Layton actually chose it, but she was on it. So today is the birthday of one George Kaufman, 1889, born in the Pittsburgh.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Another birthday from 1908, Burgess Meredith. Not crazy. Mm. I know. Well, you know, let's like not forget that he was the coach in Rocky. Hello. Yes. Because it all comes back to that. So 1922, a revival of Hamlet opened tonight with John Barrymore in the title role as, quote, the new and lasting Hamlet.
Wow.
I thought that was the most hilarious quote ever. I was like, interesting, interesting. Arthur Hopkins directed it, and sets were by Robert Edmund Jones. It ran 101 performances, and it broke Edwin Booth's long-standing 100 performance record.
Wow.
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
Uh-huh. 1931, Lunt and Fontaine had one of their greatest successes ever in Reunion in Vienna. Do you know Reunion in Vienna?
I do not.
It's the story of former royals now forced to work as cab drivers and such.
Really?
Yeah, I kid you really? Not. I was like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, they're going to tell me. And I was like, wait, come on. Did I just really read that right?
Nicole, I kind of think we need to produce that for ourselves.
Musical version, right? Hello.
Musical.
We need to be in it. Listen, in 1931, it ran 268 performances deep in the depths of the Depression.
Wow.
That says something.
Well, think about the time period. I mean, think about the Depression and the story. That's,
But wait, there's more. It went on a European tour from there.
That's amazing.
Reunion in Vienna. We're going to have to look that up. It's a romantic comedy.
I will be doing a play reading of that soon. I want to sit down with talented people and read that play.
Have a stage reading. We'll do like how Liza invites everyone to the piano to sing. We'll just sit around and do a stage reading. I mean, oh, yummy. That's hilarious. So I didn't know this was a play. I thought that, but Jumbo, do you know Jumbo?
About the elephant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was all like a facade in my head, but it really like went on. 1935. Good old Billy Rose. He paid $340,000 to make a circus motif. 1935.
Wow.
With live acts just to fill the stage. That's crazy. Whoa. I mean, it's Billy Rose, but it's still, I was like, whoa. So Jimmy Durante was in it, 233 performances, and it only paid back half the investment. Durante ended up delivering one of his most memorable lines. When police catch the big-nosed comic trying to smuggle the title character out of the circus, they demand to know where he thinks he's going with the elephant. Durante plays himself in front of the huge pachyderm and innocently replies, "What elephant?" Oh, I know. Martin Beck died in 1971, or died at 71 in 1940.
Hmm.
The Hills were alive in the theater district with The Sound of Music in 1959 as it opened at the Lundfontein Theater with one Mary Martin and Theodore, is it Beichel or Beichel?
I don't know.
Bekel.
Bekel?
Yes.
Are you sure? Or tomato, tomato. We can call the whole thing off. Okay. So here's another. Did you know the melodrama musical, The Drunkard?
No.
No. Oh, really? I was like, do you know that? I don't know. There was a musical version of it done. It was renamed The Wayward Way, but in 1964. And I'm like, there's some crazy stuff. 1981, the musical Merrily We Roll Along opens up.
One of my favorites.
And there's a documentary coming out on that on the 18th. And George Takei's Allegiance is going to be in stages. Is that the 18th or what day is that? 13th. So that's all happening, going on. But there's a great documentary. We talked about that before on Merrily We Roll Along. But here's greatest. 1989. The revival of Gypsy, starring Tyne Daly, opened at the St. James Theater. That was some good stuff. Mama loved it. And last but least, in 2014, the man who can do no wrong, well, I don't know, Hugh Jackman, returns to Broadway in The River. Oh. He did no wrong, but the play didn't do it for me. But I fell in love with an actress named Kush Jumbo, and I fell in love with, I always was in love with Hugh. I fell in love with him more, I guess. I don't know. Then that 2004, so man who brings his girlfriend to a remote cabin for a night of trout fishing. Or did he? Or
makes,
did he not?
Makes
because
me
they don't
see it.
Tell you anything going on, just so you know.
A night of trout fishing.
He cleaned the fish right in front of me from this far away. Many a fish and cooked the fish. It was actually a beautiful set, circle and square. So birthdays today: Halliwell Hobbs, Elizabeth Perkins, Michelle Pock, Martha Plimpton. Locally today we have Jen Brown. Yesterday we had Miss Laura Wahlberg. And tomorrow we have one Carl Gonzalez and
one
Wendy
of
Ahrens.
My very favorite people, Carl Gonzalez.
Right?
I just have to say that right
well,
now.
Well, it's tomorrow, and I wasn't going to leave him out.
Oh, no, yeah.
And then our Coco host, her birthday is next Tuesday before the next show. So Chicky Chicky Boom Boom and Chickalella's birthday is happening the next week. So with all those birthday things, we're going to cut to music for one quick second, and then we're going to come back with our guests and talk about a tuna Christmas.
Raindrops on roses.
And we are back. Hello. We are happy to have our next guest here with us. from the Sam Bass Community Theater and your production of A Tuna Christmas.
Yay.
How perfect for the holidays.
Happy holidays.
We've been hearing your voices, but I'm going to reintroduce you all. Hello, R. Michael Klingsales.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Fabulous.
Glad to be back.
Oh, I like that. We like having, we like new faces, old faces. We love faces.
Well, I got an old face right here. I got the old face.
Jacob Vigil, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Robin Connor.
Hello.
You are the director of these two duo over here, aren't you?
Yes, handsome, yes, I am. Handsome,
so
talented.
If someone in Texas doesn't know what tuna is, or
you
any tuna, or anything, yes, and it's been living under a rock, would you like to tell people a little bit about what is a tuna Christmas?
For me, Tuna, Texas is my home. That's where I grew up. I grew up in a small town called Jewett, Texas. If you get on Highway 79 and you keep going, we had 200 people in our town. I graduated with 47. So these people are real. They're... I don't want to say they're stereotypes because that makes them less than what they are, mm-hmm. but they are characters that you find in the small towns. And what's, to me, so gratifying about Tuna, Texas is that, yes, Texans know them. We know these characters. We know these people. But people from other states, they know those people as well. So these types of characters, the used gun salesman and the old grandma and the crazy man, and they all exist.
And there are
everywhere. Many
characters. I mean, you're doing this how Jason and Joe did
right.
it and wrote it with mm-hmm. two actors, which a lot of times when other companies are doing any of the Tuna series, they do not
they
cast
don't
it
do
this
it
way.
That way. Right.
You know, Jason and Joe wrote these. It's easy when you're writing. It's
right.
easier, I should say. It's not easy.
And for our listeners who were listening last week, we had Jason.
We had
Williams,
Jason on mm-hmm. last week.
He's amazing. Yeah, amazing.
And he's starring, and he was talking about mm-hmm. how he's stage right. managing a Wolverine walks into a bar.
Right.
That's Jason Williams
right.
that he's working with. So you two are doing this with two characters, and you play many characters. Like... Mm. Why don't you give our listeners an idea of, like, how many characters and what? Oh, you're going to pull out that page and start counting. Or do you have? Does it have a number, or do you have to?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wow, what just happened?
That's just a taste of what rehearsal's like every day.
So, have you... I mean, I guess it's hard. I couldn't pick a favorite Tuna character. Do y'all have a favorite? I mean...
Well, of course we have our favorites.
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you get excited, though? I would think you would get excited. And see, I'm the type of... This is just me. But I would get excited and go, they're my favorite. And then I'd get to the next one and go, I don't know, but I gotta like them. But
when you're in a show like this, I think it all comes down to not just who's your favorite character, but who your favorite relationships are.
Oh.
And so one of my characters... With our Michaels, it might not mean as much unless he's in that certain character of his. Does that make sense?
That's a great point. That's
yeah,
a great
that
point.
Is. No, that's a really
so true. And that's one of the things that I as a director, wanted to keep is that they're real people. And mm-hmm. if you make fun of them, then the story loses its meaning. Yeah. These are real people with real feelings. And while we laugh at them and we are sometimes appalled at some of the things they say, in their heart, They're genuine people.
I've heard Jason say it multiple times when people have asked him, like, why do you write? Or what do you like to do? Why? He's like, I like to write characters that people like.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're not a good person, like, there's something about everyone you like. I've heard him say that
right,
before.
Right.
And there is. There's something endearing
about
all of
them.
These characters.
Yes.
And so, do you guys want to tell people a little bit about the Christmas show, you know, what's going on in Christmas land, because it is a little bit different than some of the other series.
Well, let's see. We have the mystery of who the Christmas Phantom might be. That's going on in the story.
See, I need my Law and Order. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah. All of the characters have their own little drama thing that's playing out for
yes.
them. And so the authors tried to connect all of those. And I think they did a really good job. And one of those things is the Christmas Phantom. The fact that a lot of the people in the town are related to each other. There's also a Christmas yard display contest going on. And you know, all these things are very funny, but like Robin said, they're all these are all very real people. I didn't really grow up in Texas. I lived here when I was a kid, but then we moved away. And I grew up in the North. I know these people in the North, too. They had a different accent.
Yeah, maybe some it's different saying like issues, Coke but... versus Pop or soda, but yeah. It's all the same.
That's right. It's all kind of the same thing. It's all carbonated.
It's just that intertwining, and it's funny how a small town has it, but then even big towns in your little areas, you have it. You know, you get your little groups and your little cliques, and who's with who, and who's with what, and everybody knows each other's business, and it's that sort of feel throughout Tuna Christmas. It's you're on the phone, and there's people. You know, your husband's cheating on you, and your wife's running here, and you're doing this. It's this whole banter of small town gossip.
And everybody knows everybody else's business too.
Right. And so it's fun to watch these two go back and forth.
And that's what I was
going
to ask. We're getting close to the end, and I wanted to ask this. So you're in rehearsals right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you this content so hilarious? Do you stop and like cut yourself up laughing? Like, do you find yourself at times like, pull it together. I got to get back in rehearsal. Because it's definitely just so hilarious that, like...
And I think right now, since we're in the rehearsal period, sometimes you come out on stage and you're the wrong character.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's the wrong voice. Give me a second. And that's part of the fun and the challenge as an actor is to figure that all out. And it's a challenge. I've done Greater Tuna before, and some of my favorite characters don't have as big a role in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so Petey Fayesque is one of my favorite characters from the original, and he's got a much smaller part in this. I mean, it's a beautiful part, but he does talk about Christmas a lot, and it is beautiful. But
and animals.
Yeah,
and animals. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
What do you do?
Well,
what do you do? You give it to me.
We're out of time, but I hope you don't leave and come backstage with us so we can talk some more. No, this is exciting. This is exciting.
If you'd like more information,
I'm going to let everybody know about your dates and all that stuff right here.
Thank
you guys so much. That was the Sambas Community Theater, folks. They're doing a Tuna Christmas running December 2nd through December 18th at the Sambas Theater. Cool little place. For more information, you may visit sambastheater.org.
Maybe I'll sleep real late.
Who knew? So I want to just say thank you to everyone. Stand by for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening at Offstage and on the air. We're going to go back. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you later. Here backstage at Hot Mess the Musical, where hot messes happen physically and mentally. So back here behind the dumpsters, I met some other hot messes, the stars of the musical. I'm part of that. I just feel like that today. So hello, I'm Lexi. I'm looking right at you.
Hey.
So I'm gonna talk to you, Lexi.
Oh.
Tell us your story. Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Austin. I'm from right here.
Get out.
Here.
Oh, pull that microphone right up in your business. Oh, yes.
Hey, friends.
So you're from Austin.
I am.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
Were your parents too?
My parents are not. My mom's from Thailand and my dad's from New York.
Oh, get out. Where in Thailand?
Phuket.
Nah, I love Thailand. It's a beautiful place. My brother and I were just talking about it the other day.
Amazing.
Yes. And your dad's from New York City or upstate?
City.
Nice.
I want to say Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's where he's from.
And then came to Austin, and you're now an Austinite. What a wonderful combination. So how did you get into theater?
I did it as a kid. I did a lot of dance as a kid. And then I was just a ridiculous kid who talked to herself. So they put me in theater class.
I love it. So I love it. Do you have you're studying at St. Ed's right now? And is the plan to still do theater?
Yeah.
You want to stay in Austin? Do you want to go to Newark? You can go elsewhere. You don't only have to go to Newark.
I
do
no
not want
to. Clue. I really like film as well. So who's to say?
I love it. Are you experienced? Are you only interested? Or are you just learning at this point in your life? Are you? Is it more about the performance element? Are you finding things that fascinating on the production or on the backside too?
I love doing hair and makeup. I'm taking like an advanced makeup class, which is radical and awesome. And I want to learn more about lighting. I think it's super cool.
It is cool.
It's super cool. So I want to learn a lot of things. I'm not terribly good at any of them yet, but learning.
That's all you can do. We're always learning. You'll always learn in life. And as long as you keep learning, the world will be a good place. Yeah. So, I can't wait to, you have to come back and come off stage so that I can... Yeah. We can ask you some of these questions in a few months or in a few years and see where your passion is. I love watching folks' journeys. So
hopefully there is one.
That is, you know what? I'm sure, my dear, there will be. There absolutely will be. Jacob.
Yes.
Where are you from?
I was born and raised in San Antonio.
Oh.
I moved to Austin when I was about 15, 16, right around puberty, I guess.
So the whole family was like, see you later, we're moving.
No, just actually my mother. So she got a good job up here and brought me with her. I'm the youngest. I'm the baby of my family. And I'm the only boy.
Oh,
that explains a lot more.
Yeah, you have my brother syndrome.
Yes. But I was raised by four wonderful women, my mother and my three older sisters.
So was my brother. Wonderful women. So that's kind of cool. Did you have that... when you moved, did you feel like you were moving across the United States, even though you were moving like
not even 100 miles?
Been.
Yeah. I mean, it was worlds away. And Austin is such a different place. I love it. I fell in love.
It's really different.
I tell everyone,
I
came here and I found myself. And that's
awesome. So cool. So how did you get into theater?
It was something to do in high school. And somebody said I was good. And I was like, whatever. but they kept calling me back, and so it just kind of got in my blood.
Do you do musicals too, or are you just kind of more into the theater?
I haven't done very many musicals. I'm more of a crooner.
Ooh.
So yeah, I'm not. Don't get me started in the shower. That's all I gotta say.
Hey,
I've heard that before.
By the way, we're all on the Billboard charts in the shower. Just so you know.
Yes.
And that's okay. That's okay. So, Alexandra, where you got a little excited that he can sing? So you got her head going. But where are you from? What's your story?
I was born in Massachusetts.
Where in Massachusetts?
In Weston, Massachusetts. It's very near to Wellesley, which is where that college is.
Yes.
I was near it.
Isn't that funny when they name the colleges like the town? Like people,
yeah,
they're like, I go to UMass Amherst. Where's that?
Amherst.
Yeah. I go to Worcester Polytech. Where's that? Worcester.
Yeah.
I go to BU. Where's that? Boston.
BU. No, okay.
So
I grew up in Massachusetts and also in Greece. My parents are both Greek. My mother's from Athens.
Where in Greece?
I spent a lot of time in Athens, and the island of Andros is where her family is from. And then in the States, I moved around to New York and D.C., and then I've been in Austin now for 2 years with my hubby, playwright, Mr. Patrick Shaw. I just took his name recently. I'm really digging it.
Yes, today, but may we say, not only is Mouthful a U.S. premiere, but today was the world premiere.
Of my last name.
Of the last name, Shaw.
Yeah. Yes.
Golf clap. Nick loves a good golf clap. I'm sorry. He's not here for it. Quiet, please. Quiet. That's exciting. You guys are all fascinating people. How did you get into theater?
I did theater since middle school. I've been, I was acting for a long while, and then I went to the National Theater Institute in Connecticut, which I like to call as my semester abroad, because everyone else was going somewhere overseas, and I was like, I got to go to Connecticut.
Connecticut can be its own little island, though.
It's at the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center, where they have the National Playwrights Conference and the Music Theater Conference, and we had this like really intensive you know, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day conservatory-like program where we did design, playwriting, directing, acting, writing.
What a great experience!
It was awesome. It really that's how I met my husband. This is just all about my family. and then I got really into playwriting and directing through that, and continued doing that since, and I'm doing it in Austin now.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
That's exciting, Jarrett.
Jarrett,
you've been backstage before.
I have.
So I'm not gonna give you all the exact same questions. I'm gonna make it even harder for you. Tell us something about yourself that you haven't told us, or maybe your castmates won't know.
Whoa, that you guys don't know? Well, I was gonna say I have not said upon the air that I'm moving to Chicago, but that is happening in 2 weeks.
I know. I'm kind of devastated about. Although I'm extremely excited, and we did have this conversation, I am a little devastated at the same time.
It's a major bummer for you guys.
Oh wow!
It is.
Golf clap. I was just about to say golf cry. Golf cry. Quiet, please.
No. I tell my students. I'm like, you know, Lexi included. I tell them like, well, you guys only have to miss one person leaving. I have to miss like 100 plus little babies.
There are multiple hour and a half flights back and forth between Austin and Chicago. It is not that far.
Yeah, it's not that far. We've got Skype. Only problem is all that stuff.
You live in a city that is the epitome of the four-letter word snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I know nothing about.
Yeah, well, guess what? You are gonna learn real quick.
Yeah.
Here's the weird thing. Yeah, a big coat. I hate snow. I do think snow's a four-letter word. Yeah, I rode, when I lived in Chicago, I rode a bike all year round. Wow. People look at me and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what happened. Ask me. It must have been youth.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what that was.
What a great city. So why don't you tell us what you're going to do in Chicago? Well, where are your adventures taking you?
Yeah, I mean, this is the big, crazy, I'm going to be, you know, a full-time actor move is what this is. And, you know, it's partially inspired, of course, just by all the wonderful work I've seen at St. Edward's and in town. And, you know, Austin is kind of facing some hardships in both the film and theater, you know, industries, and so I just figured, you know, I'm still kind of sort of young. I don't have any kids or anything, any major responsibilities. I should just go ahead and do this. Yeah, that I know of. None that have written me any Christmas cards. So I assume I don't have any children. It was just time. And when I had the realization that it would be terrible any time I left, it would be so hard.
It is. Yeah.
I just figured, why not just rip that band-aid.
And what a great city. It's such a vibrant city with such incredible arts. My favorite museum in the entire world is the Art Institute.
Yes, I've been there. It's so good.
I have been all over the world to museums, and I swear that is the best museum ever. The food, the culture, the people.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. The Cubs just won the World Series, and those people have been nice for 100-and-some years. Like, it's just what a great city. So, we wish you well. I'm sorry you're... Sorry, you're going. I'm sad, but I'm excited. I have a love. I have a love for Chicago, and sad. All right, R. Michael Clink Scales. You've been on this show before too.
I have.
So I'm gonna.
So what's my question?
The same thing, Jarrett. We want to know something that people don't know that you haven't told us, and maybe that Jacob and Robin wouldn't know about you either. I want a surprise.
I am such an open book.
You don't have to tie it with a bow. Just give us a surprise.
I cannot shut up about myself. I'm not moving to Chicago.
That's true.
You're not moving to Chicago?
I'm not moving but I did get married there a couple years ago.
Did you? You were married in Chicago?
I did, yeah, because my family lives near there.
I knew you were up from there, but I didn't realize
so they were able
to
come to the wedding. It was spectacular.
St. Patty's Days are the best in Chicago, by the way. They dye the river green.
Okay, but Chicago was the first city I was in, hanging out with my friends, and that was the night we were there, I saw three handguns on the street. Only one of them belonged to a police officer. So, it's a big city. I'm just saying. It's a big city.
Yeah, well, so is New York, and that's not exactly the same. There are some issues.
So, something you don't know, my daughters were in my wedding. They were the ring bearer and the flower girl, and the ring bearer Kara, dropped the rings, and they just rolled through the judges' chambers. It was hilarious.
You didn't and lose them, did you?
No. Okay. I'm not wearing it now because it's too big. It keeps falling off. But and our sons were the best men.
Awesome. That's so awesome. Are you doing anything special and exciting for the holiday? You know what? Actually, do you play any of these characters at home for your children?
Yes.
Have they been a hit this holiday season?
You know, they keep walking through the house saying, are you talking to me, Daddy? I'm like, no, I'm just doing my lines in the kitchen. And they don't like know who's there. They don't know who's in the house even because it's different people. And I'm like, better watch out because if it's Vera, you're going to be in trouble. I'm gonna yell. Oh, yeah. If it's Petey, then you should be taking care of the animals. God, kids will not take care of the animals. Anyway, sorry.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I would love it if my parent was in the other room doing, especially Tuna, and these different characters were going on. What a wonderful way to grow up.
Yeah, my kids, it's just part of, you know, growing up with me in the house.
So will this be a holiday tradition now? Are you going to do Petey in the kitchen every holidays making Christmas cookies?
I should. I'm going to try to get my kids to come see the show, but one of them is away to college and one of them is in high school and he can't stand anybody. Ugh. Once they get into high school, they hate everybody, including themselves. But they hate everybody, so that's not good. And then my daughter's...
I love that Luxie's looking going over here.
And then my girls are in the sixth grade. Ugh. Sixth graders.
Yes. I spend all day with
them.
Graders.
Sixth graders are opinionated, and their opinion is the right opinion.
Well, yeah.
Hello.
That's true. It's true.
They totally throw themselves.
Yeah, right? So, oh my God, that's hilarious. So, Robin.
Yes.
Robin, what's your story?
Grew up, like I said earlier, in the other room. Small East Texas town. Graduated very small. My dad's a high school football coach. Mom's a teacher. So lived in Texas.
Which is funny because we were talking football right away.
Yes.
And I just listeners need to know I didn't start the football conversation.
Nope. I started the football
conversation. Maybe hard to believe, but I didn't start it.
And so my high school didn't really have a theater department, but we did a one-act play every year. And so I did that, and then I auditioned, went to college back in 1988. I'm probably the oldest person in the room. But that's okay. I'm okay with that.
No.
Anyway.
I was in school. I'm allowed older than I look.
Anyway, graduated from Stephen F. Austin State University with a degree in theater. Immediately married high school sweetheart and started having kids.
Aw.
Yeah. Well, it didn't end all, but that's okay.
Golf cry.
Yes, exactly. Golf cry.
It ended all.
Long story short, fast forward, I teach theater. I've taught high school theater, taught theater in elementary, taught theater in middle school. I've been a teacher for 24 years.
Well, thank you.
And and so my daughter graduated last year from Ramrock High School. She's at Webster University at their acting.
What a great, I looked at that school. It's a great school.
And so now.
Like a really good theater department that people.
It's very selective. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of her. But anyway, got their butts out the house and I went back to acting and have missed it royally and was so blessed, got cast with this guy in The Crucible at Sam Bass that we just closed a couple weeks ago. And then Olin, who was the director there, got me, he said, hey, would you be interested in directing Tuna? And I was like, shut the front door. Yes, I will. And so.
Olin loves that Tuna.
Yes,
that Olin.
He loves the Tuna.
He loves.
And so I feel like I've got a rebirth. I don't regret taking time to focus on my kids and get them where they need to be. My son's about to graduate from Texas Tech in December. And so, I mean, I did that, but now it's been really amazing to get back to me.
That's beautiful. And you know what? It's kind of beautiful when.
I've never been to me.
It's beautiful when you can fall in love again with something that you already were in love with and find a whole different relationship and connection. Mm-hmm. I had that myself, like an epiphany in life with theater, and was like, oh my God, I didn't even think I could like it in a totally different way.
And
so,
my new husband, we've been married 5 years. He's a lighting designer. He just got his master's in lighting design. And so it's wonderful to have him. He's so encouraging. He's like, you know, like Tuna. I said, we're supposed to go visit your mom for Thanksgiving. He's like, no, you can stay here. And I was like, score.
Yeah. Two birds with one stone.
But I mean, he's very supportive. So it's just, it's like, oh,
That's awesome, Sauce. So, yes. All right, Robin, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a favorite musical?
I do.
What is it?
Can I do two?
Okay, you could do two, but here's, I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite song from the musical? So you're going to have to pare down to a song.
Okay. Then my favorite.
But you're more than welcome to mention both musicals.
Okay, the one that got me hooked into theater, I saw South Pacific when I was 6, and I said, I want to do that. So that has a soft spot in my heart. Like that, shut up. That. But.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I love Chicago. It is my dream. I don't know if I can, but I would be Mama Morton like that.
It's a great. So I'm assuming that Mama Morton's tunes are some of your favorite in the show.
Yes.
Oh, I hear it right now, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Oh, we're just going to go out on that and let our listeners get down to some Chicago, especially how timely on the 20th anniversary of a revival. Darn, that's impressive. Thank you all for coming backstage amongst the dumpsters and for another great performance of Hot Mess the Musical. See you next week.
When you're good to mama.